got a great show for you guys today. We've got the hottest new band from Mumbai, Goddess Gagged, on the show. And we're making them a modern maquiche, which is basically a delicious quiche with lots of cheese and bacon and ham. That's going to be good. So now it's time for us to make our modern maquiche. And we're going to start by making the pastry dough for the base of our quiche. And for that we're going to need 200 grams of flour, 100 grams of butter, about 70 mils of cold water, a pinch of salt, and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And the most important thing to remember is make sure all your ingredients are cold, because you don't want the butter to melt, you need it to be cold. I said it again, cold, cold, cold. What I'm going to do is make the pastry dough using the food processor. Normally these things are made by hand, but I just find it much more convenient to do it in the food processor. So let's go make that dough now. Flour, butter, blitz. Make sure it's nice and coarse. Add cold water, 1 tablespoon vinegar, a pinch of salt, blitz. It should look something like this. And now we take this out in a bowl. Ideally, you'd like to work on a marble or a granite surface to keep the temperature cool, but I don't really have an option right now, so I'm removing everything in a bowl. So we've got everything out, and now you just got to slowly bring it all together. And this is actually very similar to making your chapati atta or any other kind of dough that you make. You just got to make sure everything is cold here. I stress on cold repeatedly. Shape it into a disc. Almost. And what we're going to do now is put this in some cling film and put it in the fridge for at least 30 minutes before you use it. That goes into the fridge for about 30 minutes. So our dough has been in the freezer for about half an hour and is ready to use now. And make sure you flour up your work surface. Now you ideally want to do this over a marble or a granite surface where it's nice and cool and the temperature is maintained. I unfortunately am doing this on a glass surface, so hopefully it will go off well. And I'm also using a chapati balan because I haven't had the time to upgrade to a nice long wooden rolling pin. But let's hope it comes out okay either which way. This out too thick, keep it about a quarter of an inch, half an inch maybe, depending on how thick you like your crust to be. So that's about big enough for our pie crust, for our dish. So what we're going to do is, going to pull back the dough onto your rolling pin and roll it back like that. Got our pie dish here. Just gently roll that over. There you go. Make sure it fits in nicely. And then you want to cut off the excess on the sides. There you have it. So the pie crust is kind of ready. Now what we need to do is pre-bake this so that you get the inside of it to cook, and that when you cook it with the quiche filling, it becomes nice and crisp. So what we're going to do is, we're going to bake this now, pre-bake this. And we have a few tips and tricks to keep in mind. What you need to do is poke holes in the bottom so that the pastry doesn't rise up. So make sure you poke a fair amount of holes with a fork. Just don't fork it up, okay? Don't fork it up. Got it? And we're going to take some baking paper, put that down in the center, and put some beans, any kind of beans, or you can even put another dish The idea is to stop the pastry from rising up, so this will do the job. This goes in the oven for about 15 minutes at about 190 degrees, and then you remove the beans and bake it for another 5 minutes at about 170 degrees Celsius. Now it's time to make the filling for our quiche. We're going to start by using 3 eggs. And to this, we're then going to add about 200 mils of cream, fresh cream. You can use low-fat cream, or you can even use some milk if you, you know, want to avoid the fat content. But I prefer to use the cream. It's more tasty, it's delicious, it's rich. About a pinch of pepper and a pinch of salt. Now, because we're going to be using bacon, I'm not going to add too much salt. However, if you are going to be using chicken or any less salty meats or some vegetables even, you can, you know, add a little more salt to your dish. Next up, we're going to add the cheese. So we're going to pour in the cheese now. Now we're going to add the mushroom, the ham, and the bacon. So add in some mushrooms. I've pre-cooked these mushrooms, and if you go back to episode 1 and watch and see how I made the mushrooms for the hamburgers, that's the exact same way I prepared these mushrooms. You can also add them in raw, but I prefer to cook them beforehand. Same with the bacon and the ham. So we add some of that delicious bacon, ham, and this is delicious royal ham that I like to use. I don't know why it's called royal ham. Maybe it's a wealthy pig or something. And then I'm going to add some Italian seasoning just to give it a little bit more flavor. You can additionally add any kind of herbs or seasonings that you enjoy. Most quiches generally add a little bit of nutmeg and that's about it. But I'm using some of the Italian seasoning because I like the flavor that it gives the quiche. And now we're just going to whisk all this stuff together. Just whisking everything together. Now what we're going to do is we're going to fill the quiche with this mixture. And what we're going to do is take our pre-baked base and put our filling in that. So pour in all that lovely goodness. And make sure that you spread it around evenly. And now it's ready to go in the oven. Now that our quiche is in the oven, we're going to let it cook at 200 degrees Celsius for about 15 minutes. And make sure you preheat your oven. And there you have it. Our modern quiche is ready. And it's a lovely golden brown, and you can see all those delicious bits of mushroom, bacon and ham in there. This is just delicious. But now we must wait for Goddess Gag to come before we can taste this. Hottest new band, Goddess Gagged. We have Siddharth Basool, Arman, and Devesh from the band here joining us today. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
What's up?
It's great to have you on.
Good to be here.
Yes. So the first thing I got to ask, how does it feel being touted as the next biggest thing in Indian rock and metal?
Feels good. No, it feels good. I mean, we've been at it for a while now, and I've been at it for a while now, and yeah, it feels really good.
Arman, you're the founder of Goddess Gagged, from what I've been told. Tell me a bit about the name and, you know, how did you start the band exactly?
I started the band with Krishna and Jeremy. We've been jamming for a while but had no, like, material of our own. And then, like, things slowly took off. And name, we had an issue with the name for a while, but then we settled down with Goddess Gag, which is a protest the hero song. And that was Krishna's idea.
But what was the previous name of the man? You know, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
It's called Fulcrum.
Fulcrum? That's interesting.
Krishna, being an IIT student, thought about physics.
Okay, so Fulcrum to Goddess Gag. But your band has evolved a lot. I mean, even though you are only getting noticed right now, there's been a huge evolution in Goddess Gag. Devesh, how did you come to join the band?
I don't know. I mean, I met Armand and I met Krishna at, I think, was it IROC?
What was it?
GIR, right. I met them because I was playing in this band called Discarda, which was like a screamo band, I guess. And I mean, like, we weren't really doing anything and I was kind of getting bored, like I wanted to play and stuff. So I met him through like some common friends, and I found out about Goddess Gag and like what they were doing. It was kind of cool, like I liked it. And then Arman and I just kept hanging out and like jamming, and eventually I jammed with Goddess Gag and like a few times I played a few shows with them, and then I became like an official member. And yeah, then things started to take off.
And Basur, most people don't know, but you've been in the scene for a long time. You're from my generation, you know, we go way back, and you were into alternative and punk music at that time very heavily, and you had a band called Kinky Ski Monkeys, which I actually played bass for at some point in time. But how did you meet these kids and end up singing for them?
Arman and I met at this show at this place called Space Jam, which was like this makeshift gig place, and that was one of our first gigs. I think that was one of their first gigs with Goddess Gag as well, with the new lineup. And kind of dug each other's music, and we got to talking, and we decided at some point we should collaborate on something. At one point I wanted him to join my band and he wanted me to join his band at the same time, so we kind of dropped the idea. And then when my other band Doggate Disco kind of dissolved, Arman asked me if I'd like to do a couple of tracks with Goddess Gag, and I said yeah, sure, why not. And I remember it was my 29th birthday, the day of the gig, and I think that was like one of the best gigs I've ever had in my life, like the most fun I've ever had on stage, and one of the best birthdays ever, definitely. I distinctly remember Devesh asking me, would you like to do this full time after this, and I said yeah, of course, I'd love to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Arman, coming back to you, you were the vocalist and the frontman of Goddess Gag when you started out, and you know, obviously, how was it giving away control of something like that to Basur? And I think even to Devesh to some extent, he does a lot of the songwriting now as well.
Yep, that's very true. It was good actually, like I get to concentrate more on the guitar and also on our stage act as such. And it's way easier not having to do vocals full time. And yeah, Pasru is definitely one of the best.
Mutual respect and admiration. So let's move on to something a little more fun. Devesh, you seem to have had a shave today. But I think most people who know you see that you have a golden beard and black hair. Is that why you have a blonde beard?
My beard isn't completely blonde, like it's only like parts of a mustache in here. And like my dad apparently had that as well up to a certain point, and then it started turning black.
No, going back to your music, do you guys ever feel any pressure having clean vocals in the band? Because, you know, in Mumbai especially, growling is like the thing that gets the metal crowd going, and for the most part you guys are playing at metal venues, at metal gigs, so do you guys feel any insecurities when playing with, you know, bands that are growling and getting mosh pits going, whereas your music is more, you know, sing-along and melodic and with textures and all that complicated stuff?
Not at all. I mean, that's the kind of music we wanted to make, so
yeah.
I don't think we think about that at all.
And I'm no expert in growling. I don't think I'd ever be able to do that properly.
You've collaborated with Sanit from Bhayanak Moth, and he's sung on, I think, 2 songs on the album?
Yeah.
That's right.
Is this something that we're going to actually see more of in Goddess Gag, or is this just like a one-off collaboration for the album?
We wrote a new song, like, recently. We played it at NH7, and there's one section where, like, we want Sunny to scream in it. And he actually did that with us at Blue Frog, like, a couple of months ago. And it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
So we have a new song that's going to happen on it as well. So
let's
see how many songs call for, like, screaming in it. Yeah.
But do you see this maybe evolving into having a second growling vocalist in the band? Because obviously if you're going to add every new song or every couple of songs with a growler, at some point it is going to figure in your sound, that people will expect to hear a growling vocalist live as well maybe.
I mean, no,
we've thought about it, but like we don't want to push it because like as like such we're still like doing a lot of just clean vocals and like at times some parts call for it then only, but like right now we're predominantly like doing clean vocals.
And we've managed like live a couple of times when we played in Bangalore. We had Gaurav Basu from Inner Sanctum do some growling. And when we played
in Pune, we got Aman from Noiseware to do some stuff. And also, I mean, I've also actually, like, in case there is no one to do the growling parts, I've also figured out what clean parts I can convert those growling parts into so I can sing it out instead of screaming it out.
So moving on to your album, Resurfaces, who came up with the name?
All came up with it. I mean, I think he said Resurfaces. And we were kind of like skeptical in the beginning, but I think I took to it almost immediately.
It
sounds awesome. You know?
It grew on us.
I really liked it. For me, it actually makes a lot of sense because I had kind of been dormant in the scene for a while and I'm kind of resurfacing with this band. With Goddess Gang.
And also it's a new us pretty much. Like, I mean, like our old sound is pretty much dropped and it's like new us coming up.
Yeah, the new Goddess Gang kind of resurfacing.
And is there a concept or a story behind the album lyrically or
in it comes from his head?
No, see, all the lame lyrics are in my head. I'd like to point out.
People like Dreamer.
So you...
I'm just kidding. See, most of the lyrics are about personal experiences. And I mean, I've been through some shit in my life, yeah. So, I mean, most of them are about women. Yeah, and
women inspiring rock stars since time immemorial.
Not all of them, like, inspire is not really about
women.
It's more about how, you know, it changes a person and how it can affect you. But yeah, Visionary, for instance, is one of the tracks that I just could not write anything. I was major writer's block. I was going through some emo times at that time. I was tweeting a lot, so I just took like a bunch of my tweets, which were centered around the same topic, and I rearranged them to make sense.
You wanted to call the song Tweets.
Yeah.
Which now I figure is a fail. But yeah, I mean, now it flows pretty well.
Yeah, it would be kind of like preliminary stage of the master plan, and next song is Tweet.
Yeah.
Alright, you guys also shot a music video for Sink or Swim. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was a great experience, yeah. I mean, personally speaking, we've got a lot of flack for it because I guess people are expecting a lot more. But for us, I think we accomplished what we set out to do. We basically wanted to establish the band with a promotional video. We didn't want to make any grand movements with the video. We wanted to present ourselves to the world or whoever was watching as a band. And I think we pretty much nailed it while doing that, you know. I mean, people can put faces to the music now.
So guys, the music video that you've done and the album, you know, have got mixed reviews from people. How has the feedback been for you guys? You know, what's the kind of feedback you've got from your fans?
Haters gonna hate.
That's true.
Overall, it's been pretty good. We've got like some suggestions and stuff that we will work on. I think people expected a lot, which is good in a way, but like for us it was like what we set out to achieve, we've done that. Like,
I think we've done more than that.
Yeah, more than that. Yeah.
Sure. I don't think the album got mixed reviews. I think the album got pretty positive reviews.
Yeah.
The only sort of negative things that I see are like certain songs, like, and monotony is one big thing.
Yeah.
That's
subjective.
Yeah, it's super subjective. I don't think we've ever, like, in the middle of writing a song, stopped and been like, oh, what if the people don't like this?
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. No way.
And what is the process of writing a song for Goddess Gag like?
Basically, like, we work on whatever ideas we have separately, and then we'll meet and like put whatever riffs and ideas we have down, and then
I think
from there pretty much.
I think the only song that was like kind of the lyrics were premeditated was Modern Machines, where he just randomly decided to name the track Modern Machines, and I wrote lyrics using that theme. So, although the song has nothing to do with machines, so it's just a metaphor.
You guys had Zoran come down and mix your album. What was it like working with him, and how was it having him, you know, produce the album for you?
It was awesome.
Best 1 month of my life.
Yeah, me too, totally. I think the best recording experience of my life. I mean, he he's fun to work with, he's got awesome suggestions, and he's very creative. He's not just an engineer, he actually helped us play.
And he's also
shaped the album up, yeah.
He's also pretty much a perfectionist, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
He knows his shit.
And so it was awesome. Like, I think it was Basru's idea initially. He wanted to fly out to New Zealand and just record with him. Like, that was the first idea.
I actually did. I was like, okay, one suggestion was to record the album here and then maybe go to New Zealand and sit with him and get it mixed and mastered and stuff. Then we spoke to him, I guess, and we all thought it would be just easy.
I shot him an email about that, and he was like, if you want, I can come down and produce the whole thing. I was like, yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
And do you guys have any other musical projects, and can you tell us a bit about them?
Yeah, I have a bunch of other shit going on. I have Bones of Body, I have Things That Fly with him, I have the Venus project, which is currently this studio project, I have Bram Futura. I also do this full-time commercially, I think, for
Bollywood movies.
Bollywood movies and ads and radio and...
Arman, what about you?
Well, I've got Things That Fly, which is an acoustic project that both of us have, and God's Gag.
Aren't you also trying to become like a dubstep DJ?
That's not good. I'm working on some electronic music.
Right. And you, Devish?
I'm in a workshop with you.
Yes, that's the obvious. Promo time.
Yeah.
Okay, and on a more serious note now, what does the future hold for God's Gag?
Silence. Future... is in the future.
Hopefully,
a lot of hovercrafts, hover cars,
spacecrafts.
Yeah,
airplanes.
So looking forward to.
Only for them.
No, we're talking about the band, guys. Not what will happen in the general future.
Well, hopefully, a lot more shows in and around, and getting exposure internationally.
Yeah, I know international exposure.
Yeah, that's definitely up. Like, we're really hoping that happens.
Hopefully, an EP by next year.
Let's do it.
You heard it first on Headbangers Kitchen. God is Gag EP next year.
Already started writing new material, so yeah, that's definitely on the cards.
Excellent. It's been great having you guys on the show. What you guys don't know is that they have eaten almost every dish that I've ever created and sold from my house. The bacon bomb, the mizza, what else?
The burger.
The burgers. And are you guys ready for the latest from Headbangers Kitchen, the modern Makish?
So ready.
Yeah. It's cheese, it's bacon, it's ham, and it's named after a God's Gag song, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get it.
Alright, so let's get that modern Makish on the table. Alright guys, so here it is, the modern Makish, which is a quiche filled with cheese, bacon, mushroom and ham. And I remember that you don't eat pepper, so there are none in that. So you guys ready to dig in?
Yep.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Okay, let me cut you each a piece.
A giant piece. This as well.
Yeah.
Alright, bon appetit. And let me know what you think of it.
Of course. Holy fuck, bro.
That hits the spot.
So good.
Oh, that's good.
No words.
Yeah. That says a lot in itself.
No words. I think maybe I should taste this as well.
Perhaps I should.
Holy shit.
That is good.
Are there mushrooms in it?
Yeah. Mushrooms, bacon and ham.
Awesome.
How do you make the base?
So there you have it. God is Gagged have given their seal of approval for the modern Makish. We'll see you on the next episode of Headbangers Kitchen.
Breaking this modern.
Like I said, we'll see you again. What about you? Yes, there's some story about you and coins as well.
Yeah, I don't keep coins. I don't know, it's mainly because I don't carry a wallet.
So if somebody gives you change?
I don't want to look like someone like pretentious douchebag.
But you are.
That is the scene.
And also, what's with the accent?
I've been in an American schooling system for a large number of years and I've been surrounded by white people and American teachers and stuff, so this is what happened.
Okay, and is there any truth to the story that your dad owns a large shampoo company?
Not shampoo, hair product.
No, he doesn't own anything. He's the COO of L'Oreal India.